The Board of Supervisors will convene. And for the flag salute, Supervisor Howe, if you would please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Chaplain Bradley, welcome this morning.
Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we gather here because it's important for the business of the county, for the citizens who live here. And God, I just approach with great thanksgiving for the country in which we live. We appreciate freedoms to speak our voice, and we give you thanks that this is carried on throughout our nation. For whatever the issues are, we can say our piece. I just pray, God, that we would be confident in our ability to share kindly, to be appreciative of one another, to be respectful in all matters. And Father, then we think about those who serve in capacities in our county government. And we appreciate the work that they do. And they make our place safe. And they give us the things that help us to enjoy our lives. And so in all of these things, we're truly grateful. And Father, for the rain, for the continued moisture, we appreciate that. We just give our thanks to you for that. And Father, may we have hearts of gratitude for all the things that we are blessed with. And we give you thanks and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
The board will be convening today as the Siskiyou County Flood Control and Water Conservation District and receives no additional compensation. Roll call. Roll call.
Present.
Valenzuela.
Yep.
Chris.
Present.
Ogren.
Present.
And Kotze.
Here.
Thank you.
All right, we're at item four, presentations from the public. This is the time slot for information from the public. No action or discussion will be conducted on matters presented at this time. You will be allowed 3 minutes for your presentation. The chair can extend that time to 5 minutes for appropriate circumstances. Written comments can be presented, if so desired, by providing a minimum of 7 copies to the clerk. When addressing the board, please state your name for the record prior to providing your comments. Please address the board as a whole through the chair. Comments should be limited to matters within the jurisdiction of the board. So I see there's quite a few people today. I only have, I think, 4 blue cards for a public comment. If you do want to make a public comment, there's some blue cards up here, and if you would fill out your name and hand it to Ms. Davis there, we'll get you on for your 3 minutes. So with that, we're going to start with Tony Pauly. Come right up here to the podium. Yeah.
Right here. Oh, right here.
Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Tony Pauly. I live in Hornbrook.
Do you want to, before we start, pull that up? Yeah,
right.
Thank you. There you go.
That better?
That's better.
All right. My name is Tony Pauly. I live in Hornbrook, actually, on the KRCE property. And I was up here when we were at COPCO, and thanks for having us all back. We're all very interested in seeing what the results of our discussions were when we were up there. I've got a couple of just very short points, nothing miraculous. I did bring our bill from Nielsen. We did have our water tested. Luckily, at this point, we have very good water where we're at. We're about 1,000 feet from the river. We are lucky that our father, in his infinite wisdom, actually went down twice as much as normal and got us a really good well, really good aquifer. We hope it stays that way. We have a bill that totals here $381 from Nielsen, and this was a special. I don't know whether they did it because they were having so many people come in and having their water tested. Excuse me, but it just so happens that if we had to pay full price, it would have been nearly $1,000. That's for the basic, was it 20 or 36 items that they test for?
Yeah.
35 items. And then they charge you an extra $40 if you want to look at contaminants. So is this something that we are just going to have to live with? That's, you know, if you have it tested on a regular basis, that's about $1,000 a year if you just do every 6 months. And that's a lot for people in small communities to absorb. Most of us live on fixed incomes. I get Social Security. Luckily, we have a property that costs us very little to live on, except for when we encounter things like this. So that's just food for thought. Are we going to just eat these, or are these going to be able to go someplace, these bills for our water testing? Because we now have a baseline, but things could go bad very easily depending on the year. Secondarily, this is a picture of our sons. My sister and I, we live on our property. This picture was taken 40 years ago off of the KRCE campground. These are our little boys. And this is them sitting in the river just off
address
the KRCE
the board up here, please.
Campground. I just wanted people to see.
I understood. But.
Now, I bring this picture in for two reasons. Number one, 40 years ago, these were babies sitting happily playing in the Klamath River, as it was then and was until very recently. Secondarily, this is a particular summer where from the campground, we were able to walk across the river, literally walk across the river, up to our knees as adults. But that speaks to the fact that there are years when that river gets really, really low, even with dam control. And if this is symptomatic of having dam control, if we go into a very bad drought year, it could be even less than this. It may be up to our ankles. Secondarily, if we have a really, really, really wet winter, like we have over the past several years, without dam control, the campground has now put in power boxes that are higher above the floodplain, so that if in a flood year, they don't get water in them.
I need you to wrap up, please.
All right. That's pretty much it.
Okay. A question for you before you leave. One, do you have copies of that billing?
I can make copies of it.
Can you send us a copy?
Yes.
And have you submitted anything to the mitigation fund?
No, we have not, because that was my question, if we can.
I'm not sure. We'll explore that and try to find out. But if you can get us a copy of it, that would be helpful.
Okay.
And then secondarily, when you say Nielsen, what is that, Nielsen Labs? Or
Up in Medford, yes.
It is. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Ken Noble? Good morning.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes.
My name's Ken Noble. I own property on the Klamath River, 4 miles downstream of the Iron Gate Reservoir. I chose Siskiyou County 4 years ago as a place that I wanted to look for some property to which I could raise my children, my grandchildren, and make it a heritage site for all of our family members. We've enjoyed wonderful times on the Klamath River. The before and after of the Klamath River is devastating. We purchased our property, the Klamathon Lodge, for approximately $1 million 3 years ago. There's no recreation now. The water's not safe. It's questionable whether the air that comes off the river is safe. It upsets me to no end to understand that a lot of this could have been prevented some time ago. McClintock had hearings in Washington, D.C. with the EPA about the sediment. And it was determined by several people in the EPA that the sediment had to be removed before the dams were ever opened. As a matter of fact, there was a whistleblower that came forward, and he was fired. He was told, no, the dams are coming down. Why is it that the information that the EPA and the other organizations have previous to the dams being demolished didn't come out until after the dams were demolished? The horse is out of the barn. My biggest concern, and something that I feel it's almost laughable, is at one time, from what I understand, there was a waterfall that was covered over by the reservoir, and then it was removed. The salmon have never had free reign upriver of Copco Lake for ever, as far as I know. And so I'm at a loss to understand why this has all taken place. You know, maybe it's reparations for the tribes. Who knows? The jobs have all gone to the tribes. I don't think this is what the tribes intended. They were given the Klamath River as a gift to take care of. It's not a gift anymore. And their legacy is going to suffer as much as ours. One of the greatest issues that I feel is the recreation. Because there's no recreation, do you understand what's going to happen to the tax base in this county? The tax base. Businesses are not going to have tourists buying food, lodging. There's no draw. There's no salmon fishing anymore. It's questionable whether the salmon will be edible for, I don't know, 10, 12, 15 years. We don't know the effects. It's an emergency that is taking place. It's like if I got cut in the leg and it got chopped right there, what's the first thing I would do? I'd put a tourniquet on it so that I wouldn't bleed to death. The tourniquet I see is not putting any more sediment into that river, which they're continuing to do, trying to get rid of more and more of it. You see the excavators up at Boyle. You see the ones, fire hoses on the other side of Iron Gate Dam pushing that stuff into the river. I think it's been explained from what I've read about the clay versus silt. If anybody doesn't understand that, they're really being ignorant of what's taking place in the river. Fish can't breathe. Their turbidity of the water is not such that they can survive when they have clay in their gills. You know, they talk about not having, or the oxygen's just about right. No, it's not. You should see the fish on the side of the river. It upsets me when you know the science behind the bubble disease that they talk about for the 850,000 fingerlings that came down the river. It's not bubble disease. It's an excuse. They were put into a river that didn't have any food in it, no oxygen, and they're expected to survive to the ocean? Yeah. This does not make sense.
Mr. Noble, I don't mean to cut you off, but I need you to wrap up, please.
Okay. I think I speak for a lot of people, especially the people affected on the Klamath River and at Siskiyou County. I would appeal to the board to declare this an emergency, as it is the only thing that is going to promote the healing of the Klamath River. We have to do something and do something now. We've had enough talk. Anyway, I thank the board. Thank the audience for listening.
Thank you. Good job.
I know that there's a lot to say. I would just ask that you stay within that 3 minutes if that's possible, please. I'm cutting a little attitude, but I know that this is an issue, and we want to hear from you, but if you can be concise and keep it within 3 minutes and provide any written material afterwards, would be real helpful to our board. Thank you. Holly, good morning.
Hi, good morning. My name is Holly Hansard, and I wish I could cry. I am in shock. I feel like with them blowing up the dam, it's like blowing up my heart, but I'm still stuck in numb shock. Last week, my little Toyota Matrix got hit by a crazy mad driver with a semi-truck coming back from Ashland. At the Ashland Grade, and somehow, by the grace of God, I'm here to speak to you today And I was also able to continue my journey after calling the authorities. But there's like these people destroying the most beautiful thing on earth right now on this county, Kapko Lake, for example, where my father came years ago from Nepal. He's always loved nature. He grew up in Texas, and he would come here even on his weekends after work to enjoy the beauty, the nature. He was not a hunter. He was friends with Thana, the deer lady. But he stood and said, "Free Thana." But, you know, different people. But I've gone there after work. I work at the Rain Rock Casino. And I go there at night so I don't have to see during the day. And I spoke at the last meeting, and I was just full of hot air. I did nothing because I'm still in shock. I couldn't even function. I barely functioned from the Bowles fire that burned my house and one thing after another. And I'm not good at anything. And I wanted to write notices or encourage other people to do it, and I couldn't. And maybe I still can, to say, please stop. Please cease and desist. You are actually hurting us and damaging us. Not only are you damaging the lakes, all the wildlife, native rainbow trout, native crawdads, native everything. I'm Native Californian. I'm a Native American. And I have talked to many of the natives, you know, in the casino. Even the Karuk people individually don't want this. It's like they realize that it's not, maybe there was a handful of people with them, but there's a handful of people. I don't know if they're my complexion or not, because I get sunburned really easily, but, you know, maybe I'm a pale face, but I don't know. But, you know, when they talk about, oh, well, this native, well, what do they want? Do they consider me not native? They want me to die too? I mean, Agenda 30, carbon taxes. We're the carbon that they want to destroy when it comes down to it. So they don't care. We're just collateral damage. Anyway, I know, thank you so much for all of your efforts for being there. I know you guys felt helpless too. And I knew there was a slight... Anyway, I wish they could fix it. They fixed the Oroville Dam. Maybe they could fix some of the, excuse my French, C-R-A-P-O-L-A, however you spell, crapola that they created. They, who is they? Idiots. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. And well-meaning idiots, and also maybe malfeasance, they did something not... They say, oh, we did it by the law. Well, maybe they didn't, because our Constitution declares that these people's properties are important, and that I, individually important, is important, and we, as a voters, are, even though it was an advisory, are important, and we're not like... Okay, so anyway, my tribe is the United States of America. I'm a California citizen, and I am who I am, and I'm completely helpless and dumb. But by the grace of God, maybe we can do better, because I got hit by a Mack truck. It was no competition.
Thank you,
know,
Ms.
And thank you very much. And so here I am to speak, and maybe we can do more.
William Sisson.
Bravo.
Yay.
Bravo.
Who sent it this?
But I want to. I'd like to read it into the record, if that's okay with you, Chairman.
We'll go to the 3 minutes.
Okay,
that'll be fine. Thank you.
I'll go as fast as I can.
And name for the record too, please.
Stand by one. You started my time. I'm not even started.
She'll fix it.
I'll fix it.
Go ahead and get your name before.
Chairman Kopsup, board members. My name is William E. Simpson. I'm a local rancher, citizen scientist, and I'm a retired United States Merchant Marine officer. I've served. I've researched the dam removal proposal and science over the past many years, since 2014. My attorneys have also researched the proposals, the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission edicts, and violations of the constitutional rights of the citizens of Siskiyou County stemming from that fiefdom, especially citizens living on and around the now-drained Klamath Lakes and the river below the dams. Klamath River Renewals Corporation's actions fly in the face of their own corporate name. As we know, they also go by the acronym KRRC. So my main point is that KRRC has killed billions of life forms in the main stem of the Klamath River. That's a fact. It's been photographed, it's been duly documented, including native species of fishes and all kinds of other animals, including invertebrates and the food chain in the river. Down below Iron Gate Dam is all the way to, at least that I know of, to Happy Camp is dead. There's dead fish on both sides of the river, and it's affecting the terrestrial life forms as well. I'm here before this board because I'd respectfully like to urge this board to immediately declare an emergency and put this mess on California Governor Gavin Newsom's desk with these specific requests included in the declaration. One, immediately request that the EPA investigate the level and types of organic toxins and heavy metals in the remaining 13 to 15 million metric yards of polluted clay sediments cited by CDM Smith Stillwater Studies in a study that was done in 2009 through 2011, which I find that few people have read. And I don't know if this board has read that study. Very important to read it. It's 300 pages, and it says there's toxins in the sediment in the lake. And these are not normal toxins. We're talking about dioxin, furan, PCBs, and all the heavy metals that we're all worried about. And even at under EPA levels, these are bioaccumulative toxins. That means that just because it passes the standard today, when you take it over a period of time, it leads to debilitating disease. My partner is a nurse practitioner. She's got a master's degree. I have 5 years of university training in science. She worked at the Davis, California environmental testing lab. And she read through that 300 pages with me. We both concur. It's serious. Number two, immediately provide financial aid to all citizens living on and around the dewatered lakes and river who have impacted by water quality issues, including loss of well production. Immediately provide, number three, immediately provide financial payments for well testing to all citizens with a well within 200 feet of the Klamath River to establish baseline data and ongoing tests for every 90 days for 2 years. This declaration, I think, is imperative right now, and it's something this board can do and put this back on Gavin Newsom's desk and let him deal with it in a way, at least so this board has looked out for the citizens and erred in favor of the citizens for a change instead of erring against the citizens, which has been what's been going on with FERC and all these other companies that are interfering in our community. Thank you.
This says 2,000 feet for wells within 2,000 feet, but you said 200, which is...
No, 2,000. I'm
it
sorry,
is 2,000?
Sir. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman.
Lindsay Rhea, is it?
Ray.
Or Ray?
Good morning. My name is Lindsay Ray, and I own property at the KRCE, and I just wanted to say that I have four children. We've lived there for several years, and it's my job to protect my children, and it's your job to protect my children. So I hope that you declare a state of emergency so we can get some more help out here, because since you asked for your testing, our doctor refused to do a heavy metal test on my children until you released the testings that you had done. So it helped us.
That the county did?
That the county did. It helped us because our doctor said, oh, well, a nosebleed is, could that be related to chromium? Oh, it's just one nosebleed. We should just see if we get another nosebleed, and we'll do your testing later. So 3 weeks later, the day that you released those tests, my doctor called me and said, can you bring your sons in so we could get their heavy metal test done? So, hey, declare a state of emergency. We need some help. We also have a bill for $381 that we had to pay for our law. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Reynolds, is there anyone else in house that wants to make a public comment? This is the last one we have. Good morning, Chrissy.
Good morning. How many copies can you borrow?
It's 7 if you have them, otherwise, we'll fix it up for you.
I have to wait for my address.
Good morning. Thank you. morning.
Good morning. I think we'd better get started so you don't get shorted.
It's ready.
Okay.
Chrissy Reynolds, Cocoa Lake. It's one thing to read reports, hear it, or see it on the news. It's still another to see images and videos from friends and neighbors. So many perspectives, so many opinions and versions. It is still another thing altogether when you live it, smell it, feel it, breathe it. God gave us our senses in order to keep us safe. These primal instincts to know when something is safe, to venture out or stay inside, to freely gather or go about your business. And the thing is, for me, especially over the past few years, the people whose business it is to keep us safe have lied. They've lied because it was their business to lie. They got paid to lie. Our bodies do not lie. Our bodies feel fear, have hair raised up on the back of our necks, give us a warning that something is wrong, very wrong. Wildlife has incredible instincts. Our wildlife, our bodies, our intuition, our inner warning systems are ringing alarm bells like crazy. Maybe testing shows one thing, maybe reports say another thing, but for many of us, our inner alarm systems are asking you to listen to our instincts, to please trust the people and not the experts that have financial gain to complete a mission, regardless of who or what is standing in the way. We instinctively know this type of approach is wrong. When your actions cause no harm, there are no alarm bells. This is an emergency. And in order to prevent further harm and injury, a state of emergency must be declared. It is your duty to uphold universal law, not just constitutional law or California law or federal law. Those are the laws of man. Universal law does not harm. There's something wrong with the water. There's something wrong with the sediments. Planting seeds over the sediments will not keep the toxic ground from not being toxic. Those fine clay and silt particles will become airborne. We will breathe those. They will get into our noses, our lungs, our homes, our gardens where we grow our food. They will get into our mouths where we will eat them. Our wildlife will eat these. We are not separate from these things. And every time it floods, more will be released into the water, starting the cycle over again. We have all seen the way this job is being done. The dumping of sediments directly back into the water, bucketful after bucketful. It is offensive. The water smells like a septic tank. It is not safe. Another way must be found in order to keep people, pets, wildlife, and the air and water safe. I know you are doing what you think you can. I am asking you to do more today. I'm asking you to declare this a state of emergency, because it is.
Thank you. And is there any public comment online?
We're showing none online.
Anyone else in-house for public comment? I'm seeing none. Before we move on, a couple of things, and I guess I'm going to look at Ms. Nielsen. If you want to come up and real quickly, I want to ask you a couple of questions. With regard to the county testing of the water, has that been publicly released yet?
Good morning, Elizabeth Nielsen, Deputy County Administrator. And yes, that information was described in a memo, which is available on our Lower Klamath Dam's decommissioning webpage.
Okay.
It has also been shared through our county Facebook page.
And then with regard to the well testing, have we communicated that through Chelsea to KRC and the state of California as of yet?
So Chelsea has been in contact with KRRC regarding well testing. Well testing that some citizens are taking on themselves. If you're asking more specifically, because I heard your question earlier about communicating that to the Klamath Mitigation Fund, I will check in on that and get back to the board. We do have a special Klamath Dams board meeting on March 26th in this room, starting at 9 a.m., and we will have a presentation or a report out of that water quality memo, and I will pass on this information and then coordinate with Chelsea regarding how that's been shared with both KRRC and the Klamath Mitigation Fund.
And what about the state of California?
And with the state of California. And she is in contact, she has a direct contact with California Department of Fish and Wildlife, who has taken the lead for the state on this effort. And she is communicating the water quality memo, comments we received from the public, and I will be sure to communicate some new information that I heard today regarding the cost of well testing and what some of the results have been.
And do we know, has the North Coast Regional Water Quality Board been testing or monitoring water quality since dam removal?
Chelsea's been trying to track that information down. I don't have the answer right this second, but we will get that to you. She is also at the board's direction from the February special board meeting. She's been reaching out to those agencies to urge them to do water quality testing as well, in addition to what the board has directed the county to do.
And then lastly, and I'm doing this mainly for information for the residents here, when we were at COPCO for the board meeting there, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think I heard Mr. Bransom say that the state of California was stepping up with regard to the diminishing wells or wells that were going dry, that would be taken care of?
Yes, I recall a general statement to that effect. We will again be inviting KRRC to present at the next Special Klamath Dams board meeting, and we will certainly inform them that is a specific area we would like them to touch on in addition to others.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
One more thing for residents while you're here. This has been a very difficult thing. I've been on the board, this is my 18th year, and this was going on prior to even me coming on the board some 25 years ago when this all started. It's tragic, and I know that all of you that live here, it's even more than tragic to all of you, and I appreciate you being here. I want you to know that this board, all through the years, have spent millions of dollars in staff time and outright cash outlay for consultants, for attorneys, everything that we could bring into the toolbox to bring into play the very concerns that we're dealing with here today. I cannot find error on this board in how we moved and acted on this whole proposal, this whole project. I'll just say it, the political powers to be, this was a far greater project than for all of us in the room, for what was supposed to transpire here. The county is in the mode, has been in recent months or year, as this has begun to roll out, to mitigate harm to our residents and to the county, because the county is not in a position, nor our residents, are in a position to mitigate any harms or unintended consequences that come our way because of a project that, whatever happens with this, that the models didn't capture, that harm should not come to any of us in that area or to the county as a whole. And I appreciate you all being here today, and I hope that it's not words of hope or help to you, but I just want you to know that we will continue to be in full dialogue with the state of California, the KRRC, and those contractors involved to protect our citizens to the best avail that we can. And that's not just to say that we're going to, you know, it is what it is. We're not going to be there. We're going to be standing at the front of this, hopefully mitigating as the dialogue happens behind, you know, closed doors per se, trying to find funding and cure for what the Model N missed. So I'll leave it at that. Thank you all for being here today.
With all due respect, it's time to take action, sir.
Declare a state of emergency. Yeah.
Yeah. It is time to take action. Talking isn't going to cut it anymore.
There's children.
I appreciate your comments. Public comment is over. We are going to review being able to do this declaration of emergency.
How soon will we know?
It can't happen today. I'll just let you know that.
How soon?
I'm looking at staff. Our next meeting is next week, and then we have one on the 26th following. So we should have something within the next two meetings to be able to look at, would be my guess. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay.
Well, we're all waiting.
Understood. All right, with that, public comment. One more.
Is County Council here today?
Yes.
And who is County Council?
Ms. Reed over here.
Okay, sorry, I'm not familiar.
Okay,
he's right. DeMarco and Frank would always chime in on what we're doing and what is the county doing.
Mr. DeMarco hasn't been here for a very long time, and Mr. DeMarco was part of the negotiations originally.
Right. Is County Council at the forefront of this? Like,
you'd have to ask Mr. DeMarco that question. No.
Yeah, where's Branson?
Are they making public comments?
No. Yeah. So we're cutting off. We're done with public comment. So with that, we're moving on to item 5.
Thank you.
Consent agenda.
We have at least one department.
Okay, and we're pulling 5G.
G is in George.
Okay. A. E.
A is in
anyone
L.
else? All right, I'm looking for action from the board on the consent agenda minus 5A, 5E, and 5G.
So moved.
I have a motion.
Sorry.
Second.
Thank you.
Supervisor Howe.
Okay. So roll call for consent, the remaining consent. I've got Supervisor Howe.
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela.
Sure.
Supervisor Chris.
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren.
Aye.
And Supervisor Cobb.
Aye. We'll go to 5A.
So as far as the Klamath River issue, we're done.
It wasn't on the agenda. Public comment is done. Klamath Dam hearing will be on the 26th.
But there's nothing more to do with the river or the dam.
On the agenda today?
So nothing's going to concern us. With
no, that's okay. Correct.
Right.
It was mainly public comment.
We're addressing 5A, you said?
5A, and I don't see anybody from Ag here, so let's hold on to that. Move to 5E, County Administration.
Good morning. Again, Elizabeth Nielsen, Deputy County Administrator.
Good morning.
Good morning. Okay, there you go. I didn't see who pulled up. Apologies.
I just want to draw attention to a couple things. Going through the letter, the one thing I didn't see in there is the business aspects of DSL internet connectivity that is used by agriculture in this county. Without that, things like live auction would cease, as well as the monitoring back and forth, like I know that the dairies do their daily reporting that way and others through the internet, and that can't be done cellular in the bulk of the county where they don't have the only replacement would be satellite, which is really expensive. I'm speaking loud. Anyway, I didn't see that in the letter. That's why I'm just drawing attention to that. The other question I had, and we probably don't have an answer, is are we going to see similar
out of, say, Siskiyou Telephone following suit, because what concerns me is the bulk of my district doesn't have any other form of communication other than a landline.
And when you say something similar, you mean similar to a letter like ours?
No, a similar action asking CPUC to, you know, do away with their landline.
Oh, okay. Apologies.
You may not have the answer to that, but it would be a major concern if this is the way all the utility companies are headed.
Understood. You're correct. I haven't looked into that yet. Will do. I will look into that. As far as the business aspect and DSL internet, I haven't looked into that either. I will look into that, and I'm sure there'll be future opportunities to engage, or if we need to bring another item in front of the board, I will be sure to do so.
Okay. I think it's really important. I know the author of the letter and focused on emergencies and that kind of thing, but it's broader than that.
Understood.
So if I could just piggyback on, did you want to say something?
Go ahead.
No, the AT&T rep was up here on the 29th for a broadband consortium. There's more to this than I think. It's not like you're just cutting off service. You know, they're the carrier of last resort for copper retained service, which is not the trend. It's wireless, it's fiber, it's all those kind of things. And I think what's going to warrant, and speaking to the, having Dave reached out to me, this doesn't happen overnight. It's going to be a long process. So I'm going to encourage everyone that has concerns to make sure they make their individual comments, your business owners, my business owners, to the PUC, because they're going to be holding hearings. I would also ask that we agendize that in future to have the AT&T person come up here and give a presentation. I think they are willing to do that. So there's more to this than just, quote unquote, we're just shutting off service. It's been done in 7 other states, so that's the likely trend. I think the main thing is, you know, I'll share one of my concerns. There's no cell service going down the canyon from Mount Shasta to Reading. You drop service all the time. Mm-hmm. So, and, you know, again, and they're not just doing it. They're not doing it. That's AT&T. Siskiyou Telephone is another thing. So I would reach out to to the CAO or the owners and say, hey, what's your plans? And they're all fiber over there, so I don't see that happening, to be honest with you.
Well, they're not all fiber. Not yet.
That's not what Mr. Elliott said, but that's, I'll take your word for it.
Are we ready? My understanding is that what I've been told from customers out in the Topco area, some of the ranchers, is that AT&T has told them that should their copper fail, they're not going to replace it.
That happened back on the East Coast. The hurricane took out the copper for the 9 hours of the time, and they didn't replace.
So are they to wait for fiber to show up? I mean, that was my point.
Understood. Yes.
I guess move to approve this letter with its shortcomings.
I have a motion.
I'll second.
And a second on 5E.
Okay. Supervisor Howe?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Sure.
Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Kopsack?
Aye. 5G, County Administration.
Good morning, Supervisors. Sherry Lawson, Deputy County Administrator. I need to replace the first page of the fourth addendum to Liebert Cassidy Whitmore's agreement. There was a typo that was pointed out late last night. The dollar amount should read $575,000, and as it was in the board agenda packet, it says $500,000.
Okay.
So 575 is the correct amount.
Correct.
Any questions? If not, I'm looking for a motion with that amendment.
Move to approve with the amendment.
Second.
And a second.
All righty. Supervisor Howe?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Sure.
Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor
yes.
Ogren? Oh, sorry. Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Kopsack?
Aye.
So I say that was a nice catch.
Thank you.
Anyone from Ag yet? Or we know? Have anybody reached out to them? If you wouldn't mind just.
Yeah.
Okay. With that, we're moving on to 6A, General Services Sanitation.
Good morning, Amanda Kimball, Deputy Director of General Services at Stillwater State Commerce Department. Here to present you with the pictures of the final steps of our emergency resolution that we have been going through the last few months to fix some much-needed repairs and add-ons to the Overland Road transfer station. The push wall was completed, and I'm looking to cancel the emergency and get your direction and or comments towards closing it.
Okay. Questions, comments? Anyone?
Completed project then?
I'm sorry, what?
Completed project?
Completed project. There are a couple of things I wanted to bring to you guys. We are working on with Recology for an operation agreement. We have a meeting with them on the 28th of this month, and we are also working with the Department of Public Works, the road department, to pave the remaining dirt road area end of May, sometime in June. So we'll have that improvement as well. But it doesn't regard to the tipping floor.
Okay.
Question.
Sure.
So I was contacted by someone who fell off the push wall into the trash.
Yes.
What measures are in place to keep people from doing that? I know you just pack up and get.
Right now.
Not even feasible.
I don't know. We can look at it because right now we did look. There is like a sidewalk with a lip there, so then that way they don't go any further. I don't know regards to what we can put where the public does push, because it'll limit their access to be able to throw their trash in there.
Right.
But we can definitely look at some more options. But right now there is a stop gap where they can back up into the cars, and I just think that there was lack of paying attention on this part, but we can look into.
Do we have warning signs up? Or?
I don't know, but I'll look.
We don't need any sure.
Definitely.
Was that backing the car into, or was it?
No, they got into the truck, I guess.
Yeah.
What?
Went off.
Both off the truck.
Yeah.
I think it's just inherent to the nature of what transfers, you know, landfill. I did a tour, I think, when Jason Ledbetter was up there. We went and did a tour up in White City, wherever it was. Mm-hmm. They don't have that. They just throw it into a big warehouse, and then it's just pushed with the machine.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, that's expensive. I mean, you want to have to redo the whole thing.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's just hazard to the deal.
Yeah.
You got to be acutely aware of what you're doing when you're doing that. And it's easy to get distracted, because I've been there.
Yeah, sure.
So. Yep.
I just wondered if some signage we need to put up to
look into that.
Protect
our
liability.
Yeah, I'll look into some signage and maybe even painting the curb yellow, whatever we need to do on that one.
Okay.
Anyone else? Looking for some action, I think.
Second.
Okay. Supervisor Help.
Thank you.
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela.
Sure.
Supervisor Chris.
Aye.
Supervisor Oakley. And Supervisor Cobson.
Aye. Item 6B, County Administration.
Good morning, Chairman Cobson. Angela Davis, County Administrator. This item before you today is with regards to a joint powers agreement that would be by and between the County of Siskiyou, the Local Transportation Commission, and the 9 cities within the county. The JPA would entail a Siskiyou Transit Agency, that is the goal, and that would encompass Stage, which would then be administered and managed by the Siskiyou Transportation Agency. Within the JPA, ex officio staffing would be included and stipulated, so county staff that are currently working with Stage would remain as county staff for Stage through this JPA. The plan is to have the Local Transportation Commission to be the executive directors of the said Siskiyou Transportation Agency. And we are looking for your approval to continue to move forward. And the next steps is to take the JPA craft and bring it back for your approval. But prior to crafting said document is quite a tedious adventure. We wanted to make sure that you are in support and approve. I will state that the LTC did approve to move forward, and so I'm seeking your approval today.
Thank you. Any questions? Supervisor Chris?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Davis, or, are we asking the cities to financially contribute in the JP?
It would be the same funding that they currently are contributing, as well as the back and forth of the funding for the grants and everything else that we currently have. And it would just have literally moving stage from the Department of General Services to the Local Transportation Commission. So the funding streams would remain stagnant, or I shouldn't say stagnant, we would hope that it would increase, but it would remain the same. We are not asking for any additional funding or any contributions in addition to in order to have this JPA implemented.
All right. That's my main question. This is comment I was at the City Council meeting last night, and I talked about this briefly during the public, asked about it. Long story short, some questions, and they were appreciative of the work that county staff have done. The cities don't have the capacity to pursue grants for the staffing. They're just trying to keep it some capacity adding what we're doing. They were appreciative of it. Forward that to whoever teams to have that.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Not? I would give direction. I think the board, are we all in the same mode for that? This is a long time coming.
Yes, correct.
We're good? So, okay. Yes.
Thank you very support. Much.
And that's what's on the agenda worksheet to proceed
yes.
with the steps.
Yep. Thank yep.
you. Is that a motion?
This, it's just direction to staff. There's no motion that I can, or has recommended motion, but it's just a recommendation.
Correct.
And we have a board consensus, correct?
Yeah, 5-0.
Thank you.
Okay. Item 6C, county administration.
Good morning, Haley Hudson, Deputy County Administrator. This item, as the board is aware, on February 11th, there was an arson fire that started in the basement of the Sisky County Community Development Building. This fire, sorry, just making sure Wendy's good. This fire caused extensive damage, fire, smoke, and water damage. This item is to approve a resolution declaring an emergency for this arson event, ratify the contract between the county and Belfour, which is the restoration company, signed by the board chair, which was required to address the immediate need for the recovery efforts, and delegate authority to the county administrator or her designee to enter into any subsequent contracts that will be needed for this event. I have provided, which I believe Wendy just handed, an updated Exhibit B, which is the preferred rates that are approved between the between PRISM and the insurance agencies. And Belfour provided this to us yesterday. It's and they seem to be the same. It's just a new time frame, so they approved, the previous ones were approved in January. These are now approved for March moving forward. If there are any other questions, I'd be happy to answer them. Otherwise, it's ready for approval.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Any
questions? I have a question.
Wendy has a question.
Wendy, go ahead.
Oh, just who's going to be signing the contract?
So, Chairman Kobseff has signed the contract. We provided the blank version for now because we had not received the signed version back when documents were due.
Okay, so what's on this signature page that will be completed?
Yes, I believe there's an, yes, the there is an updated title for the Belfour section, which Chris, I believe his name is Chris, he is requesting that he is listed as the CAO, not the controller. And that will be the only update.
Okay, thank you.
Questions from the board? And if not, moving forward to action.
So the source of the funds?
So the county insurance will be covering all costs except the deductible.
$1.2 million got my attention.
I'm sure, yes.
Thank
it
you.
Got all of our attention.
Without insurance, you wouldn't be seeing happy faces. So.
That's correct.
Anyone else?
Move to approve.
I have a motion to approve.
I'm sorry, I missed who was approved. Thank you. Balance Wheeler, thank you. O'Brien for the second. Thank you. Supervisor Help.
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela.
Yep.
Supervisor Chris.
Aye.
Supervisor O'Brien.
Aye.
And Supervisor Coxon.
Wendy, I want to move to 6F before we go to D&E because that may take a little longer. I have a public comment.
I know. Did you have a yes or a no?
Oh, yes. Oh, no, I'm sorry.
That's okay. Thank you.
Aye.
Okay. So let's get rid of this. And we're going where?
To 6F. I don't want to keep the gentleman here for another half hour.
Okay. I've got my notes for that one, so give me just a sec.
Oh, just about. Just a minute. We're going to get there. One second.
Do we have somebody here for planning?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I have some dates written down.
Do you want to hear public comment first, or do you want to tee it up?
Public comments, fine.
Let's go public comment.
Okay.
Mr. Carr, I think it is. Is that right?
Yes.
Good morning.
Yeah. So we must be at Golden Eagle School.
I need your name for the
record. Oh, pardon me. John Carr.
John.
Citizen of Mount Shasta, Siskiyou County.
Thank you.
I'm a parent of a student at Golden Eagle School. My wife and I have adopted a little girl many years ago, and she's 8 years old and in the second grade. I'm a proponent of Golden Eagle School. I do volunteer work there. My wife does too, and in the form of teaching and ground maintenance. I do some ground maintenance. This is a magic place. If you come to Golden Eagle School and hang out there a little bit, see the extreme happiness of the kids. And a lot of these kids, many of these kids, like our daughter, started out in compromised situations. And Golden Eagle School provides this tremendous service to the county. We have, I think, around 60 students on campus at the present time, and I think that, and I'm guessing a little bit at this, but I think there's between 300 and 400 homeschool students affiliated with Golden Eagle School. Many of them are out in the outlying areas, and it's difficult for them to come to school every day, but they come a couple of times a week for certain classes that they're interested in. But I hope that I've read this appeal, and it looks to me like in the appeal, most of the controversy is a little bit technical, things that we could work out as the school progresses. There is an application in, I understand, for an expansion of the school. There is some concern about noise, and there probably would be some anytime you do building, but that's going to happen any place we do building in any town here in Siskiyou County. I've heard some concerns about ongoing noise issues. The school is pretty much empty from 3:30 to 4 o'clock on. It's very quiet. It's much more quiet than there would be if there was a residential subdivision there or some kind of a commercial application, which that particular zoning would accommodate. For 45 years, I made my living in the real estate business in Shasta County before we retired up here. And I did sell properties next to schools. And to a person that I sold properties to or represented in the purchase of a property next to a school, they all thanked me. There was no lasting impact. They were quite happy to be next to a school. So I encourage this board to do whatever you possibly can to help Golden Eagle School Board move forward in the process of current development and then the future planning and development that's going to happen on that campus. And thank you very much for your time.
Thank you for your comments. Okay, bring it back to the, we'll start with Ms. Wendy.
Yeah.
What do you have for dates?
This is basically a request to set a date and a time for an appeal. This is decision of the Siskiyou County Planning Commission regarding the Golden Eagle Charter School Use Permit, UP23-08/addendum to certified mitigated negative declaration. I did hear from the appellant. He actually requested any date in April, but then I've also, you know, put it out there to planning to see what they were interested in. Haley mentioned having issues with April, things that are going on there that you're going to have some time off. And I also have dates that wouldn't be available because this room would be taken. And some of them are actually written up on our calendar here as to LAFCO meeting, Planning Commission meeting, County Council does hearings in here, some of our special Board of Supervisors meetings. So I think April's pretty full
so
at this point.
What about March?
March wouldn't have, I wouldn't have time to publish. It has to be a publication, like a public hearing.
So we're looking at maybe May. I'd like to get it done sooner than later.
Okay.
While it's fresh, I'll call it, coming out of planning.
Okay.
So May dates.
Yes. So, go ahead.
I was question for you, Ms. Wendy. Does the hearing have to be held in this location, or if those are the dates, just as long as Chair Cobb has brought up, would it be possible to do that in the location?
It's best to hold it in here. I know there's some public problems with getting public in to, say, the CAO conference rooms plus the size.
Correct.
It's very possible we'd have enough bodies, you know, people coming in and going, that this would be the best location.
How long of, are they requesting for the appeal, roughly?
The gentleman requested his part of it would be approximately 30 minutes. But then, of course, if there's anybody testifying, anything beyond that.
So it doesn't sound like, and we can't get it on for, let's see, next week's the night.
So can I ask a couple questions?
Good, go ahead.
So they're already up and running, if I'm not mistaken.
Does this hold them up? Yeah, that's where.
They are already operating at a smaller capacity currently in the school.
Right. And this is an appeal of the planning decision that approved it.
That approved the expansion to allow for additional square footage and additional staff and school occupancy.
Okay.
Yes, so the next regular board meeting is March 19. We have a special on March 26. And I do, it would be like a public hearing. I do have to notice in the paper and things like that. So March is really not doable at this point.
The 26th isn't either?
Well, that's our special.
After
Klamath.
If we did it after Klamath?
What's today?
Mm.
No. It's a 10-day public hearing notice,
right,
and it has to get to the paper. Wouldn't be until next Wednesday, the 20th.
Yeah, and I'm out the week of April 5th for a medical procedure, so I won't be available. So I was hoping, you know, beginning of May, just to allow for the staff time to get everything ready and rolling for the hearing.
You know, if I could just interject, you know, I think, you know, looking at our late, the trend of our meetings has been pretty good. Be done in the morning. Maybe we could just do the first board meeting on the 7th in the afternoon.
Okay.
I don't see this as being like an all day.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, type
right.
thing, and then that would be the
dates. Dates in May start with LAFCO on the 14th.
I'm saying the 7th
on the 15th.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm thinking. The first week would be doable.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be plenty of time for notification.
And I think that gives us time to adjust our agenda to make sure that we've allotted that's the schedule, part of the schedule.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
If the board's agreeable to that.
Okay.
May 7 afternoon, so scheduled for about 1:30.
Go ahead, because I won't be here.
I mean,
I'm just kidding.
That's...
yeah, 1:30.
Kind of cuts off everything that we could get done in the morning. Okay. Yeah.
So everybody's good on the 7th. Do we need a motion?
Motion would be great. Thank you.
Okay.
I'll make the motion for May 7th in the afternoon
at 1:30.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. All righty. All right, Supervisor Help,
aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela,
okay.
Supervisor Chris,
aye.
Supervisor Ogren,
aye.
And Supervisor Kopsa.
I'm an aye, but I realize staff is out during the month of April. I'm not discrediting that. But
right.
When there's expansion, whether it's home or somebody building, there's money on the table.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, the quicker we get it done, the better.
Sure.
So that whoever... an applicant may be that things
yep.
can get done in a place that is sufficient for them as well. So,
understood.
Thank you.
Yep.
All right, we'll go back now to item six. Are you okay?
Let's go ahead and take a real quick break. Okay. I just break up our audio file a little bit too. Thank you.